You are Locked On Rockets, your daily Houston Rockets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All tied up. James Harden was brilliant again with 38 points and 10 rebounds. PJ Tucker yet again set a tone for the Rockets on both ends of the court. Offensively, scored 17 points and made three of his six three-pointers on a night when, really outside of PJ, the Rockets' role players did not make that many threes. Eric Gordon in particular was woeful at 2 of 12. PJ set a nice tone on that end. But of course, defensively, 10 boards, 2 steals, a game-high 42 minutes chasing Kevin Durant and really any warrior that the Rockets needed him to pick up all over the floor. And at the end of the day, Rockets 112, Warriors 108. It wasn't a pretty final 6 minutes to the game, but the Rockets built just enough of a buffer. And then with the experience, the wily veteran plays of the likes of PJ Tucker, also Chris Paul, on his 34th birthday, happy birthday CP3, 13 points, but also 8 boards, 5 assists, a couple of steals, a block shot. So many little things went the Rockets' way late in this game, and because of it, again, 112-108, Houston wins game 4, and because of that, they tie this best of 7 round 2 series with the 2-time defending champion Golden State Warriors at 2 games apiece. The pivotal game 5 back in Oakland, unfortunately, is on Wednesday night. So with that, welcome in to another joyous postgame episode here at Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast commentary on everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship in Houston. Today's show is sponsored by our friends over at ZipRecruiter. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/LockedOn to try the service for free. That's ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. So as we chat early this Tuesday morning, as mentioned, the Rockets are victorious 112-108 in Game 4. That ties the series with the Warriors at 2 games apiece, effectively making it a best of 3. And from here on out, it's games every other day. They fly back to Oakland tomorrow for Game 5 Wednesday night. Then Game 6, which is now official, will be in Houston on Friday night. By the way, if the Rockets can somehow win Game 5 on the road, just imagine what that crowd at Toyota Center for Game 6 on Friday night with an opportunity to close out the defending champs, the thorn in their side for so many years. What a scene that would be. Let's not get ahead of ourselves because the Rockets have a Herculean task to win at Oracle Arena in a game that the Warriors will take extremely seriously at this point because it is truly anyone's series. And then if it gets to Game 7, that would be on Sunday back at Oracle Arena in Oakland, California. As far as tonight's game, mentioned the individual standouts, James Harden, PJ Tucker, also Chris Paul, who had a couple of big rebounds, a steal late, also had the free throw with 3 seconds left that finally put away the game. It was an ugly close for the Rockets, who shot just 8 of 26 from the field, 1 of 12 from 3 in the fourth quarter, which let the Warriors hang around. And after James Harden missed a free throw with 12 seconds left, the Warriors did get 2 looks at threes in the final 10 seconds from Kevin Durant and Steph Curry that would have tied the game. Fortunately, neither went down, and because of it, the Rockets escape with the 112-108 win. So we'll look at some of the individual standouts in segment 2 of our normal 3 points recap. Here off the top in our initial segment, I'm going to do a reset of where we are with the series as a whole and why I wouldn't necessarily overreact to anything that happened at the end of the game. For starters, it's not like the Warriors have this ability to flip a switch defensively on the Rockets. I know the lull the Rockets went into not being able to throw it in the ocean late in the game while playing most of the fourth quarter with the lead. That's going to get a lot of focus. Well, guess what? That happened late in Game 3 on Saturday as well when the Rockets, I believe, did not have a field goal over the final 5 minutes. And then what happened in overtime? The Rockets scored 14 points in just 5 minutes, including a pair of daggers from James Harden in the final minute of the game. So I don't think there's any extra gear the Warriors have defensively, and quite frankly, if they did, they'd be idiots for not deploying it earlier in the game. I think what's happening with the Rockets, a team that shoots a lot of threes, they're prone to more lulls than the average team. We have seen them from time to time this season. And I also think both teams in this series are having to expend so much energy. The Rockets tonight basically played with a 7-man rotation, just had brief cameos for about 6.5 minutes combined from Nene and Gerald Green in the first half. Other than that, it was the five starters plus Austin Rivers and Iman Shumpert. There might be a little bit of fatigue issue as well, but honestly, it's happening on both sides of the court. It's not like the Warriors have been lights out offensively as well. Golden State scored 24 in the fourth period. Houston scored 19. And I think at this point in the series, with it tied at 2, it's important not to miss the forest for the trees. The trees in this case are how the Rockets sort of limped to the finish, even though they won. It was a fourth quarter in which they were looking for the haymaker, never quite landed it, having to ultimately get a pair of free throws, one from James Harden, the second from Chris Paul in the final 15 seconds to put it away. Well, if you think back to the first two games of the series back in Oakland, it was kind of similar. Golden State led both of those for the majority of the games, yet they never could put Houston away. In fact, in Game 2, when the Warriors, I thought, played their best ball of the series, the Rockets were a Chris Paul 3, a wide-open one with about 45 seconds left, away from cutting it to a one-possession game in the final minute. Now, unfortunately, CP missed that shot, just as Durant and Curry did in the final 10 seconds tonight. But the point is, I think, first off, neither of these teams goes away. It's like a villain in a horror movie that just won't go away. Both of these teams have that pesky quality that you just cannot get enough separation, especially with the caliber of shooters and playmakers on that court. So I think it's a little frustrating to see that Golden State's gotten back in the game as they did late in Monday's Game 4. Well, guess what? Houston did the same thing in Game 2, and to a lesser extent, in Game 1, when the Warriors were up by 5 entering the final minute. It felt like they had that on ice before the Rockets stormed back and had a 3 from James Harden that could have tied the game with about 10 seconds left. This has happened in both directions all series. Through 4 games, Houston has won their 2 at home by an average of 4.5 points. Golden State won their 2 at home earlier by an average of 5 points. This is as close as it gets. And those first two games, the Warriors, even though they were close, they led, it felt like, for the majority of those two games. They were generally in control. Well, the same has been true for these most recent two in Houston. Game 3, the Rockets, I would say after the first quarter, and to be fair, the Rockets have been outscored in every first quarter this series. Now, it's been closer in Houston. Their average margin has been -2 rather than -9 in Golden State. But that's a little thing the Rockets need to clean up. And at the end of the day, that's a small sample size. In Houston, after the first quarter, the Rockets have led, I would say, for about 75% of Game 3. Really, the only time you felt like Golden State might have control was that crazy Durant run late in the third quarter, early in the fourth, when Tucker was in foul trouble, and then the Iguodala 3 in the final minute. Other than that, I would say for about 75%+ of the final three quarters in overtime, Houston led, and it felt like, even though it wasn't a commanding lead, they were in control. In this one, it felt like 95%+. I know the Rockets trailed by 3 entering the second quarter, but in Monday's Game 4, the Rockets did not trail in the second half. They were in, I don't know if I would say cruise control, because they never got up by more than 17, but there was never a point in which I felt truly threatened. So in many ways, the last two games are the rough equivalent of what happened for the Warriors the first two in Oakland. And as I see it, the key question for the series right now, how much of these two games in Oakland and these two games in Houston mirroring one another, how much of it is simply the associated bounces with home court? Obviously, role players tend to play a little bit better. Maybe you get a friendlier whistle. Everybody has a bit more pep in your step. And how much of it is truly adjustments? That, to me, is the question. And we're really not going to know until we get back to Oakland and see how Game 5 plays out late Wednesday night. So in terms of key takeaways, there's a couple of things. First, I wouldn't necessarily overreact to what happened at the end of Game 4 as far as the Rockets having to hold on any more than you would say the same thing about the Warriors in Game 1 and Game 2. This series has been close, and there's so much character, there's so much culture. These are, in my opinion, the clear two best teams in the NBA. I don't care that it's a second-round series. We know how good both of these sides are, and the Warriors, the two-time defending champions. I wouldn't read anything more into the finish of this one than you would have from Game 1 and Game 2 being a little bit closer than you would have thought, considering the Warriors led for the vast majority of those games. And as I said earlier, I think to some degree, a lot of this just comes down to a fatigue issue. Both teams, they don't have very deep benches, and the defense, the intensity is so high that sometimes there's a lot of randomness in the final 5 or 6 minutes because everybody is so damn tired. In this one, there's only one day off in between, and it was a 53-minute overtime affair on Saturday night in Game 3. So I don't really look at any small subset of a game and blow it out of proportion. To me, these two teams are as evenly matched as it could be through four games. Literally, the series is off by 1 point in Golden State's favor when you add up the final margins of games 1 through 4. In terms of what's going to make the difference, it's how much of this, as stated, is just Houston getting the bounces, maybe a friendlier whistle, the pep in the step, all those related factors from being at home, and how much of it is them truly having figured something out. And we won't know again until we get back to Oakland, but I lean to the Rockets having figured something out. Because in Game 4, the story wasn't really any role player going off. Now, we have seen Austin Rivers have a big game out in Oakland in Game 2, but 4 of 10, 10 points. His defense was valuable in his 33 minutes, but it's not like he was out of this world. Now, his presence in the four-guard lineup does make the Warriors have to account for another three-point shooter, and that's helpful, but generally speaking, it was a decent game for Austin, nothing great. Clint Capella, 6 points, 9 boards in just 21 minutes. He regressed after making some progress, I thought, in Game 3. Eric Gordon, after making 50% of his threes, 7 in total, scoring 30 points in Saturday's Game 3. He was just 2 of 12 in Game 4, got a lot of good looks. And even though he did have 20 points, he drove hard into the paint. He was not nearly as dynamic on the perimeter. It wasn't like the Rockets' role players went off, like, say, Game 2 a year ago between these teams, and it was just their night because the crowd at Toyota Center pushed them to the finish line. Now, the crowd was great, but generally, the difference in this game, James Harden outplayed Andre Iguodala badly. Iggy was a floor worst, minus 17 in the plus-minus. Harden, throughout the series, has seemed to get more comfortable attacking. Maybe Clint Capella's getting into double figures in Game 3 helped in terms of loosening a little bit of the pressure in terms of Draymond or whoever's supposed to pick up Capella. But beyond that, I think Harden is just being more authoritative. He's going straight to the rim. And I don't know what the counter for Golden State is. Also, the first two games of the series, Iguodala was unsustainably hot. I think he was shooting like 76% from the field. Tonight, he was just 3 of 9 and 1 of 4 from behind the arc. And the one make was just a prayer at the halftime buzzer. The James Harden-Andre Iguodala matchup is not one where I think home court should make that much of a difference. You're talking about the MVP of the league and a 35-year-old veteran. To me, that makes me more optimistic that the Rockets have figured something out in terms of diversifying their attack and adjusting to what Golden State threw at them in the first two games of this series. And then you look at Golden State stars. Now, Durant still had 34 points, 12 of 22 shooting. Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, they were a combined 5 of 20, just 25% from 3. And we have seen that throughout the series. They simply have not gotten that many clean looks from 3-point range. Now, Curry was better inside the arc. He had 30 points tonight. And considering the Rockets are funneling most of their defensive resources into Kevin Durant, then there's a lot of blow-by opportunities for Steph Curry against a compromised defense. And he did a better job taking advantage of those tonight than he did in Game 3. But generally speaking, it's a math problem for the Warriors. They only made 8 threes tonight, and it's not like they're missing all these wide-open looks. No, the Rockets are doing a good job of taking those away. The Rockets, on the other hand, made 17 of 50, and when you make 9 more threes, it's tough to offset that, even if you do have guys like Steph Curry and Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson on your side. Now, none of this is to say that the Warriors can't adjust back, and it's also not to say that even though the Rockets have been defending Klay Thompson and Steph Curry well, look, both of those guys, they're all-stars. In Curry's case, a multiple-time MVP. You can have perfect defense, and maybe, especially at Oracle, he just has a game where he loses his mind. That's entirely possible. Or like, say, the 2016 series when the Warriors overcame a 3-1 deficit against the Thunder when Klay Thompson had that crazy Game 6 at Oklahoma City, and particularly the fourth quarter, which ironically ended up leading to Kevin Durant's decision to leave OKC and join the Warriors. There's a lot of possibilities, and it's certainly not a given that this continues. But the formula with which the Rockets have won Game 3 and Game 4 and led the majority of the second period on in most of those games does not lead me to believe that it's just a randomness of playing at home and role players are making some shots that they didn't the first two games of the series. No, generally speaking, the series has flipped because James Harden has averaged nearly 40 points a game in these last two games, and now Andre Iguodala is not making the shots he did in the first two games, and he's not nearly as effective defensively. That's not to say that the Warriors won't have a counter. They might, but that's why I tend to believe that it's not just a matter of these last two games. While on the surface, it is a mirror of what happened the first two, and so even though you could what if, maybe if the Rockets had Austin Rivers in game one and they could be up 3-1, you could say that, but certainly game three, that could have gone in the Warriors' direction as well. I think based on what we've seen, again, a series that's separated by literally 1 point through four games, nearly 200 minutes of basketball, I think this is pretty appropriate for what the teams have shown through four games. And it does suck that the Rockets got off to the 11-14 start, and because of that, they're going to have to win either a road game five or a road game seven to win this series. That does complicate the odds, and I am very aware of that. That said, when you look at not just that the Rockets won, but how the Harden-Iguodala matchup starting to tilt in Houston's direction, the rebounding advantage, the Rockets, they didn't have the plus 20 they were in game three. That was unsustainable. But tonight, 50 rebounds to 43 for Golden State, a second consecutive game in which they have gotten the better of Golden State on the glass. And now for the series, they have a healthy advantage. That margin of plus 12 that Golden State had in game one, that was unsustainable, especially with the Hamptons five, the death lineup being relatively small. So at this point, again, it's anybody's series. It's a best of three. But I am cautiously optimistic that it's not just a matter of, well, Houston went home and won two at home because, well, just typical home court bounces and a whistle and that kind of stuff. No, in this case, there were some pretty clear adjustments that the Rockets made. And then you factor in the fact that in this one, the Warriors took it seriously. You might could make an excuse that when it was 2-0, that the Warriors felt like that game three wasn't essential. No, this one was pretty damn essential, and they played hard. The Rockets just played a little better, and at the end of the day, they had four more points on the scoreboard, and because of that, this series is now tied at two games apiece, heading back to Oakland for Wednesday night's pivotal Game 5. Now, we'll talk a bit more about the individuals in segment two of our normal 3 points recap, but for now, I do want to pause and acknowledge our awesome sponsors over at ZipRecruiter, the folks responsible for bringing you today's show. And you know, hiring used to be hard, multiple job sites, stacks of resumes, a confusing review process. But today, hiring can be easy, and you only have to go to one place to get it done. That's ZipRecruiter.com/LockedOn. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invite them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so that you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of employers who post on it get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. And right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/LockedOn. That's ZipRecruiter.com/LockedOn, LockedOn. That's ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Now, jumping back into our normal 3 points recap here at Locked On Rockets, I'm Ben DuBose, and of course, on this Tuesday, we're discussing the Game 4 win by the Rockets over the Golden State Warriors, 112-108. It ties the series at two games apiece, heading back to a pivotal Game 5 at Oracle Arena on Wednesday night. We spent much of Segment 1 discussing where the series is at, not just literally being tied at two, but also why I think it's more than just Houston winning a couple of home games. The Rockets are doing some things a lot better, James Harden in particular, that are leading to this turnaround, and the Rockets now making this a best of three series. And by the way, the later you go in the series, perhaps that's where some of the attrition of the Clippers series for Golden State, not having a break before, then having an overtime game three. The Warriors did get, or the Rockets, excuse me, a bit of a break in between round one and round two, courtesy of finishing off the Jazz in five. The Warriors didn't get that type of break, so who knows? Perhaps the later this series goes, the more Houston having a bit more rest time could play into it, especially with the Rockets also having momentum now as well. We'll have to wait and see. Tonight, though, again, first segment we looked at series as a whole, why I'm cautiously optimistic, even though the Warriors had home court. I think still the odds will say Golden State is better than 50-50 shot at winning the series, and I think that's fair because home court means a lot in games that are this big. That said, there are some clear adjustments that the Rockets have made, and the biggest one, in my opinion, is from James Harden, who is just so much more authoritative, taking the ball to the cup these past two games, in which he's averaging nearly 40 points tonight, 38 points, 10 boards, 4 assists. Even though he made just 6 of 17 threes, he was 7 of 12 inside the arc. The floater seems to finally be back again, had a couple of big ones late in game 3. Zaddy also had some layups. They also finally granted him a couple of fouls on threes. Yes, that's why the Rockets went the route they did regarding the officiating after game 1. They didn't care about the bad PR, so to speak, from the national media. No, they wanted to get some calls, and since then they've gotten it. So I think it's hard to argue against it, considering the Rockets have gotten back in the series. Anything about, oh, the Rockets are too focused on the officiating and not the game, well, that was always hogwash. That's ridiculous. And obviously the Rockets' attention to detail these last two games shows that. But Harden, after the first two games in which he wasn't outplayed by Iguodala, but certainly Iggy made it rough for him, he's looked so much more confident, so much more authoritative these last two nights. It's hard not to be optimistic about what you're seeing, especially because it wasn't like it was just a great three-point shooting night for James. 6 of 17, I mean, it's not terrible, but it's also not great. And as far as free throws, he got the 2 fouls on threes, but generally he also only got 2 other free throws the entire game, and that was the intentional foul at the end of the game. So he wasn't really getting all that friendly of a whistle other than the 2 threes. His threes were okay, about 35%, but nothing to write home about. And he still had 38 points and 10 boards. And by the way, the rebounding battle, that flipping from an average of minus 8 in Golden State the first two games to an average of plus 14 for the Rockets in these two in Houston, it comes down to James Harden and Chris Paul, your backcourt, chipping in. 10 boards for Harden, 8 for CP3 with Capella, because of the matchup, only getting 21 minutes, so he had 9 boards, but it's just such a tough matchup, and they want to space the floor a little bit more with Austin Rivers and playing smaller and with that tuck wagon lineup. Well, the only way that's going to work is if it's someone besides PJ Tucker. You can't ask him to do everything and, you know, pick up Kevin Durant, hit the corner threes, and also get all the loose balls. No, you're going to have your guards chipping in, which, again, 18 combined from Harden and CP3. That plays into. But generally speaking, the reason I'm encouraged about this from Harden, besides just the raw numbers, look, you're going up against what I consider the most talented team ever assembled, and he put up 38 and 10 in a playoff game that Golden State was extremely incentivized to win, and now the Rockets tie the series at 2 games apiece, making it really anybody's ballgame with 3 to go. Yes, hashtag playoff Harden. Of course, that sheds the absurd narratives that we know shouldn't have existed to begin with. I'm thrilled for James, selfishly, just for that reason. But beyond just the silliness of any little narrative like that, the fact that he made more than 50% of his shots inside the arc, the fact that in a game in which he didn't really get all that friendly of a whistle, wasn't really all that hot from 3, and of course had the full attention of the Warriors, had a healthy Andre Iguodala gasp. Imagine Steve Kerr trying to imply that Andre Iguodala last year was equivalent to Chris Paul. That is and always was ridiculous. But to see Harden have all that success, even not really having an A game in any one particular area, it shows you how diverse he is. It wasn't like a game in which he just caught fire. No, he was just so generally dominant in so many ways. His handle has gotten increasingly sharper. His decision-making on the drives throughout the series, even though he didn't close the game all that well, for the game as a whole, he controlled it. And again, I think perhaps some of it, I mean, there's a little bit of fatigue, and I still think at some point this series, Chris Paul is going to have a breakout night offensively. Now tonight, again, his rebounding, his savvy, he had some really key defensive plays, but he did shoot just 4 of 11. And Eric Gordon, after having 30 on 7 of 14 from 3 on Saturday, had 20, but on 2 of 12 from 3 in game 4. So Harden had to do even more, and perhaps there was a wearing down effect. I still think to win the series, perhaps in Golden State, you're going to have one or both of Chris Paul or Eric Gordon really take over a game. We saw what Eric Gordon can do in game 3. Can he transfer that to the road? I think that's what the Rockets are probably going to need. But tonight, by and large, to see despite a choppy close, despite just a lot of, I would say, B-level, but not really A, in a lot of the typical areas, how well he's getting to the line, the threes, that kind of stuff, to see Harden still end up with 38 and 10 and beat the Warriors in the playoff game, that shows you how damn good and ridiculous he is as a basketball player. So I would say this one, to follow up what he did in game 3, when he brought it home in overtime just 2 nights later to do it again and tie the series. So, so impressive. Again, hashtag playoff Harden. But he was almost matched in terms of overall impact by P.J. Tucker, who plus 11, the best of anyone on the floor on either team, 17 points, 10 rebounds. His ability to guard so many different types of players, you will literally see him against so many different Warriors, really all of them, over the course of a game. The effort he plays with, the 10 boards, the versatility defensively, it is extraordinarily valuable. I know how ridiculous it sounds to say that he almost equaled James Harden in impact, and it's probably a slight stretch, but it's not that much of a stretch. Defensively, he is their heart and soul. And when you combine that level of attention to detail on Kevin Durant, yeah, I know Durant had 34 points and did so on 12 of 22 shooting, but that's because he's one of the most talented players that we have ever seen. If you watch the game, Durant had to work. That was all PJ Tucker. And what we've said throughout the year, sometimes, you know, you get that kind of effort, 17 and 10, two steals, a block, and then you worry about, well, does it take away from his efficiency on the offensive side of the floor? Do they have to have his legs for his threes? Nope. Tonight, he did all that defensively, and then, as mentioned, 17 points, including 3 of 6 from behind the arc, and he made both of his free throws. So to see PJ Tucker, happy birthday to PJ, by the way. His birthday was Sunday, Chris Paul's Monday, both of those guys now 34. At his age, and really just one off day after an overtime playoff game that was a must-win for the Rockets, to do it again, I don't know that you can sing his praises enough. It is ridiculous at his age, on his contract, what he is giving the Rockets, what an incredible signing back in July 2017 by Daryl Morey. So James Harden is the star, but if he's 1A, PJ Tucker is 1B. It really isn't that much separation. And then after those two, the encouraging thing for the Rockets, you know, there were some key plays. Gordon, even though he made just 2 of 12 from 3, he still had 20 points. He was good off the dribble, getting to the hole. Chris Paul, 13 points, just 4 of 11 from the field. But the shots he did make were timely, had a big 3 and a floater late in the game that kind of stemmed off what could be Warriors runs. Austin Rivers, Iman Shumpert off the bench, they shot a combined 3 of 7 from 3. That's solid. But it wasn't like anyone was really all that great. Rockets as a whole for the game, 17 of 50 from 3, that's 34%. That's decent, but it's really not like they played all that well. And that's what's really encouraging. The Rockets, you know, their energy was really nice. They won the rebounding battle 50 to 43, but you look at the box score, this isn't like an unsustainable game where you look at, you know, game 2, for example, was alarming in that the Rockets shot so well from 3, nearly 45%, and yet they still lost. So you look at it and say, well, the formula, the only way they were close, how sustainable is it? This one, you know, there were a lot of solid performances and they played hard. And to win in Oakland, it's probably going to take even more. But you can get more. James Harden, PJ Tucker, they were really the only guys I would say that played A-level games tonight. Now, aside from those two, there were a lot of, I would say, B-plus games. It wasn't really like anyone of your 7 in the rotation played poorly. I'd say maybe Clint Capella, I'd say, had a C game. That was about the worst. And everybody else was at least B-minus or better, at least by my grading scale. But that's the optimism. I'm not trying to say any of them played poorly. They didn't. But they can also be better. And the Rockets still won this game over the defending champions when Steph Curry had 30 and Kevin Durant had 34. So will Houston need to be better at Golden State? Yes. But the good news, I absolutely believe that they can be. There's room for growth from this. And of course, the Rockets, having won 2 in a row to tie the series, you better believe that their confidence is soaring. They feel really good about what they can do with this now a best of 3 series heading back to Oakland for Wednesday's pivotal Game 5. And remember, if you want to get this show each and every day, you can subscribe to Locked In Rockets on the new Himalaya Podcast app. In this ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya with their personally curated playlist and new features each and every day. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On Rockets. Closing thoughts as we finish out this early Tuesday morning podcast. I'll make this quick. I don't know how much we should make of this one game. By the way, I'm Ben Dubose. This is Locked On Rockets. Every game in this series has been weird. The 2 in Golden State, it felt like the Warriors could have easily won by a lot more. The 2 in Houston, you could say the same. And this one, the Rockets did lead by 17 in the second half, and you'd like to be able to put it away, although, as I said earlier, both of these teams, the veteran experience, the character, the culture, it's like a villain in a horror movie. They never go away until you squash them out. So we've seen that on both sides. But I would try not to look at any one game and extrapolate too much. There's been so much oddness, and I think both of these teams, they know each other so well. The intensity, the effort in these games, it's going to be weird. There's a couple of bounces, a couple of key shots at pivotal moments that you're going to need to hit. And the Rockets, while they don't have home court advantage, are going to have to win either a Game 5 or a Game 7 in Oakland. First off, I think they're capable of doing that because the Rockets, they've been there, done that. They've won in Oakland twice during this regular season. They won Game 4 there, last Western Conference Finals. They have had success in that gym. And the Warriors this year, they blew a 31-point lead at home against the Clippers, and then they lost Game 5, a closeout game. So it's not like Oracle Arena is all that daunting either. So I do believe the Rockets can have success there. That said, the Warriors, they're the two-time defending champs. They're, in my opinion, the most talented team ever assembled. Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and they're going to be firing with everything they have. So nothing is a given. And the Rockets, while they've won two in a row, yeah, you're probably going to have to play even better to get a Game 5 or a Game 7 there. They can, but we'll see. Talk about how they do it. I'll try it either Tuesday or Wednesday, do a preview show to talk about some of the things that the Rockets might can do differently in Golden State, or I don't know if they want to do it differently, but what adjustments they might want to anticipate for what Steve Kerr may be thinking heading into that series. The last thing I'll leave you with for tonight, this is a night, in my opinion, to be thankful, to be really effing proud of what this team has done. Think back to 11-14 in December. Imagine if someone would have told you then that they would reel off 46 of their next 62 games, including a gentleman's sweep in round one of the playoffs over a very good Utah team. That's a 61-win pace in over three quarters of a season. And then after falling behind 2-0 to the Warriors, having everyone in the league mocking them, the officiating controversy, all that kind of stuff, and then tie the series against the Warriors, the team that, you know, as of last Tuesday or Wednesday, nearly the entire NBA had conceded, seemingly, was unbeatable. This Rockets team has character. The culture, the tenacity, the growth from James Harden, we talked about that a lot. Obviously, putting Chris Paul, PJ Tucker, those types of veterans in the locker room. There's a lot of reasons why they have the grit that they do. But this is a night. Look, I can't think of an ending to this season when you consider what the headwinds were heading in, the guys they lost in the offseason, the hangover effect, how it started. This is a team that you should be damn proud of. Now, that doesn't mean that you should feel fulfilled without a championship, because they won't. That's the goal, and that's part of what makes them great. But as a fan, you can appreciate the tenacity, the grit, the clutchness. I'm throwing out every cliche in the book, because in this case, it's justified. This team has something special. Do they have enough to do what no team has done in this era of Kevin Durant with the Warriors and beat what most of us consider the most talented team ever assembled four times out of seven, and this time without home court? I don't know. And ultimately, it's possible that 11-14 start still does them in based on the fact that this year, Game 5 and Game 7 will be in Oakland rather than in Houston, which they were last year. But I sure as hell would not count them out, because this team throughout the year has had so many opportunities to say, woe is us. The slow start, Melo, after all the hype that went into Carmelo Anthony, that not working out. Even after they got going at the All-Star break, or before that, we'll talk about Harden's stupendous run, then the Capella injury, all while Chris Paul was out for 6 weeks with another hamstring injury. Then, even after the All-Star break, the 20-5 run, well, it closed with the fifth loss, that gut punch in Oklahoma City, the lead they blew in the fourth quarter, which dropped them from the 2 seed to the 4 seed. And then the start to this series, which could not have gone really any worse, the what-ifs from Game 1 and Game 2 being relatively close, the spotty officiating, getting mocked nationally due to the outrage of the Rockets front office, the leak of the receipts, all that kind of stuff. And yet every single time, this team has no excuses and they just work harder. And this one, these last two games, again, the story tonight, it's not like the Rockets really shot out of this world, 34% on threes, 44% overall. No, they just outworked Golden State again. They are nearly plus 14 on the glass, plus 20 and plus 7 in these two games in Houston. And that's a pretty small Rockets team that's had extensive time with a 6'6", 34-year-old P.J. Tucker at the center spot. They have not fulfilled their goal, their vision. And even if they win this series, they're going to say it doesn't mean a thing until they hoist the trophy in June. That's what makes them great. That's how they look at it. I'm not selling that you should be happy no matter what. But at a bare minimum, you can be proud. What this team has done, the way they continue to fight, it is admirable. Does it guarantee success in Golden State? Nope, nothing does. And as we saw last year, you can do so many things right, but then an ill-timed hamstring pull, a historic outlier of a shooting stretch, some spotty calls. You can do a lot of things right and still lose. That's just the cruel reality of sports, especially the NBA, this era of the Warriors, who have such an unfathomable talent advantage over most teams. But the Rockets, what they showed you tonight, the heart that they have in that locker room, what's in their DNA, it's special. They certainly are nowhere near their ultimate goal, so I'm not telling you to throw a parade, but at a bare minimum, you should be really, really proud if you're listening to this podcast and you're a Houston Rockets fan. This is a day that you can feel good. Tuesday, Wednesday, we can start looking to Game 5 and what's going to be a very intense game out in Oakland. I'm sure the Rockets are already. But for you guys as fans, once in a while, enjoy it. This is a fun series. The Rockets are going toe-to-toe with what most people consider the most talented team ever, the two-time defending champs. And the Rockets, every single time there's something thrown up in their way, a roadblock, they just work that much harder and overcome it. This is a really fun group, and at least for, I'd say, the first 24 hours or so, be proud of these guys and enjoy what's becoming a really, really fun playoff run yet again. They are only halfway to their goal, and that's just this series. Even if they win this series, still got 8 more to win to get an NBA title. But this is the kind of win, and really these back-to-back wins in Houston, when you consider especially what the headwinds they were up against after going down 0-2 to the Warriors, enjoy it. This is a fun one. And as far as Game 5, we'll talk about that for another day. Anyway, I'll break things right there because at some point I do need to sleep. It is almost 1 a.m. on this early Tuesday morning, so this is where I sign off and try to catch some Z's. Hopefully you can as well. If you want more content before our next show, again, I will try and do a preview prior to Wednesday night's Game 5, a bit more X's and O's focused. Then the best place to get it before that show is on Twitter. I'm on there at Ben Dubose. The show is on there at Locked On Rockets. Also, don't forget our Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnRockets. Website, LockedOnRockets.com. Email address, LockedOnRockets@gmail.com. All those are ways you can access prior content. You can ask me questions about the team, make suggestions for the show, or inquire about how to become a potential advertiser, just as our friends at ZipRecruiter were today. Remember, go to ZipRecruiter.com/LockedOn to try the service for free. That's ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Also, beyond just checking out our prior episodes, if you'd be kind enough to subscribe and leave 5-star reviews, that's how we can look attractive to potential advertisers and keep the business model rolling as the only daily podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. Remember, if you're looking to subscribe, you can do so on the new Himalaya Podcast app, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. When you get in your car, you can even tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Rockets and get our most recent episode that way as well. One final time, the happy final from a boisterous and loud Toyota Center on Monday night. Rockets 112, Golden State 108. Houston ties the series at 2 games apiece. Game 5 is Wednesday night at Oracle Arena in Oakland, California. For tonight, how sweet it is. Enjoy what's left of your Tuesday, and please come back soon for more episodes right here at Locked On Rockets, your home for daily coverage of everything Houston Rockets basketball.